Distinguished representatives, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I speak to you on behalf of over 70 individuals and institutions. The full statement and list of endorsers is available on the UNODA website. The historic impacts of COVID-19 underscore the continuing relevance of the BWC. Yet the BWC community has been absent in the vast majority of discussions around the pandemic, including on its origins and in planning for future threats. We strongly encourage states parties to engage in and contribute to these deliberations. As a community, we must ensure that the norm remains strong against biological weapons and the deliberate use of disease and toxins to cause harm, and that the BWC retains its relevance as a key instrument of contemporary international biosecurity policy. For the MSP, this means first and foremost reaffirming commitments to the BWC and reporting on measures taken to implement and strengthen BWC provisions. It also means agreeing on a substantive outcome document from the constructive and substantive discussions at this year's meetings of experts. Mr. Chair, we welcome the first Youth Declaration for Biosecurity at this meeting. Integrating youth voices into BWC dialogue is an essential part of sustaining the relevance of the BWC. Mr. Chair, preparations for a successful ninth review conference next year and the subsequent intersessional process must commence now. There are three areas we wish to highlight as particularly critical to strengthening the BWC. First, the BWC needs a mechanism to systematically monitor and review developments in science and technology. While there are merits to both a limited participation model and an open-ended model, we urge states parties to instead focus their deliberations on combining elements of the two. A hybrid process of reviewing S&T could mitigate some of the concerns around both the limited participation and open-ended models while taking full advantage of the benefits the two approaches offer. Second, compliance assessment remains a fundamental challenge for the BWC. Here too, there are perceived dichotomous approaches. A legally binding agreement versus incremental and ongoing enhancements. But these approaches are not necessarily mutually exclusive. A stepping stone approach to strengthening the BWC can be reflective of both the historical realities of the BWC and the proposals that have emerged since 2001. At its core, compliance assessment in the BWC is about confidence building and fostering trust. And our statement outlines six key stepping stones that need further development. Third, systematic and sustained awareness raising and education in biorisk management are crucial to building a culture of safe, secure, and responsible research. As part of this effort, we welcome the Tianjin Biosecurity Guidelines and call on states parties to share these guidelines with scientific communities in their countries and regions. Mr. Chair, there are two recent successes we wish to recognize. We are pleased to note that more states parties have submitted CBMs to this year than ever before. This is a positive and encouraging trend. We also welcome the clear signal from the UN General Assembly's first committee that states want to protect the integrity of the UNSGM and the independent authority of the Secretary General. We are concerned by the apparent erosion of key arms control instruments in recent years, and the first committee vote is an important course correction. Mr. Chair, beyond the BWC and existing disarmament frameworks, the COVID-19 experience also demands additional action. BWC states parties must seriously consider how to make the broader biological disarmament architecture more fit for purpose in today's world. One element that needs serious attention is the inconsistent implementation of international standards on appropriate biorisk management practices, especially in labs working with high-risk zoonotic pathogens with pandemic potential. We strongly encourage states parties to give prominence to biorisk management in their national implementation of the BWC. Furthermore, we encourage states parties with experience in designing and operating high-containment laboratories to share their experience and expertise in building risk-based lab infrastructure that is fit for purpose, that is safe and secure, and that can be maintained over the long term. At the international level, there is no authoritative international institution tracking numbers of biological labs or ensuring research oversight. BWC states parties must consider and consult with other relevant bodies so that the best international structures and mechanisms can be introduced to systematically register and monitor high containment labs and high-risk biological research to ensure that all such research is being conducted safely, securely, and responsibly. Finally, Mr. Chair, unfounded allegations of non-compliance with the BWC are extremely damaging to the treaty. They erode trust among states parties, and they degrade the taboo against biological weapons by creating the appearance that reliance on these weapons is greater than it actually is. If there is evidence to support allegations of non-compliance, it should be put forward through the proper processes within the BWC regime that have been put in place to tackle any such allegations. Mr. Chair, distinguished representatives, I thank you for your attention.